We'll just review last session what we discussed. We discussed few verses, right? 12 to 17. So we'll just briefly review.
18.
Yeah, so now Arjuna is expressing to Krishna after hearing about the Chaturshloki Gita. What was Arjuna's reaction? Can somebody share some points? How does Arjuna accept Krishna's statements?
He says that all the great sages like Narada, Sita, and the Devala, everyone is praising you and accepting you as the truth. And now you only telling directly to me. So.
As a truth, and specifically as what? As?
Ultimate about the purest, absolute truth and the Supreme Personality of God.
What's the, like, you know, phrase which encompasses all of these? As Supreme Personality of God, right?
Yeah.
That's the key. You know, these other things, you know, we have so many interpretations, but once we say Supreme Personality of God, there is no way to defy that.
But after coming to Krishna consciousness, Supreme Personality of God is like common thing, and other things are like different.
Okay. Okay. Something else. So he's also, as Mataji is saying, he's also stating the other sages. He's not saying, because Prabhupada was saying in the purport, right? Otherwise, may think, you know, my friend is flattering me. Arjuna is a friend, that's why he's flattering. What is so good, great about what Arjuna
that's
is speaking?
Vedic,
yeah, that's why he quoted so many Vedic injections to substantiate. Next verse, 14.
Nobody can understand it. Not demons, not devas, nobody can understand.
Nobody can understand, yeah. Okay. Text number 15.
So much in awe and reverence.
Mm. Like he's like going on one exclamation after other, right?
Mm.
God of gods, Lord of all beings. Yeah, we discussed this sequence. And also, what is the first phrase? How does it signify? You alone?
You alone only.
By your own internal potential. So he's also saying nobody else can know actually. As much as, but we also understood more deeper meanings of that, right? Even Krishna sometimes, he doesn't understand himself. Or he does, he seemed to appear as if he doesn't understand himself. Text number 16. So now he's asking, you know, specifically pointing him to give him more details about his opulences, which we are going to see, you know, from today's verse, so today's section. And then why Arjuna, there are, you know, three reasons. Why Arjuna is asking Krishna to describe his opulences. So what are some of the reasons?
One is for us, common people.
So that they can remember Krishna. They can see and realize Krishna. Next 2 points in the next purport.
Second is because Arjuna is a Vaishnava. He's doing this for the sake of common man.
Okay. So he's not just satisfied with his understanding. He wants others also to understand.
But first and second are almost same.
Right? Almost same, but it's a little different meaning. Like, you know, more a different. Like, you know, he's a Vaishnava as a devotee. He's trying to be compassionate. That's showing his compassion basically. And the last one, third one,
materialists
can only understand things materially. So that's why he wants Krishna to show his opulences through this material world, so that people can realize him and, you know, perceive him like that.
So materialists are the common people, or the impersonalists?
No, materialists are karmis, you know, people who sense enjoyers, materialistic. Yeah, generally most of us are like that. Okay. Okay, then text number 18, continuing, he is still saying, he is expressing his eagerness actually now.
I'm never satiated.
Satisfied is different than satiated.
Right.
It's opposite actually. Yeah.
In hearing about you, the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar.
Your words, yeah. So we wish we can also state like this sometime, right? You know, I want to hear more and more. It's a very nice state to be. You know, we can pray that one day we can also get the taste of hearing.
It's saturated.
No, no. Satiated means I'm never full, feeling myself full.
Never get enough of it.
Never get enough of it. Yeah, never. Yeah, so that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I never feel saturated. Actually, that's some point. Okay, so we'll discuss today. I don't know how many of you will open the email and check. How many verses we said we'll cover?
19 to 42.
19. Oh, some people check. Okay, some people who didn't check.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to go this anyway. I brought my kids also today.
Is it a typo or?
No, no. It's Krishna's opulences, right? We can go very fast. No.
Swami Prabhu told me I didn't believe him.
We'll see what's going
to
happen.
Well, this is the new benchmark we are trying to set.
No, these are very small verses. Usually, you know, yeah, the whole chapter itself, you know, this one, next one also, it's like that. We can cover, next one is another stretch, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, so let's see what happens. Actually, the whole chapter, there's a very wonderful video Rompad Maharaj presented once. I don't know how many of you saw. Whole chapter is like pictorially representing opulences. Like when Krishna says, I'm the sun will show and like that, you know. This is very graphic, this chapter. If you, anyway, we don't remember all the details, but if you visually see, you can immediately, you know, relish Krishna. I was thinking of maybe this class we could have done that. But anyway, I think we are doing this.
Can we access those videos?
Well, I'll see whether you can share it somewhere, yeah. Okay, so let's see. So then, in order to hopefully do it, what we'll do, we'll not read the Sanskrit. So we'll, at least for a few, maybe the first verse we'll read. Then after that, when Krishna is giving the sequence, we'll just try to read this in English. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Hanta Te Katayishyami Divyahi Atma Vibhutaya Pradanyanta Kurukshtreshta Narsiyanto Vistarasyadme. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. So nice. He's saying, you know, just don't assume whatever I'm going to share is, you know, all that I have. And just he's giving a prelude. No, I'm going to share, yeah, but that's just one small part of my opulences. Because I cannot share, I cannot reveal all my opulences. Let's read the first paragraph.
It's not possible to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his opulences. The senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. Still, the devotees try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand Krishna fully at any specific time or in any state of life. Rather, the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. Thus, the devotees enjoy them.
We can pause there. It's very nice, right? Did you follow the And explanation here? Prabhupada is saying at any point in conditioned soul can never understand about Krishna completely, right? But then he's saying still devotees are meant to understand Krishna. Then what is it? You know, we'll never anyway achieve the goal. What's the point? Right? Why anyway we'll not understand? What's the point in, you know, sitting and hearing about Krishna? The point is devotees relish Krishna Katha. No, they feel the presence of Krishna in hearing about Krishna. So they want to hear more and more. It's not like I will one day figure out Krishna and I will understand Krishna. It's not for that reason. It's like, yeah, basically mainly we feel the presence of Krishna when we hear about Krishna sincerely. That's, you know, that's what is nectar for the devotee, Samritam. This is the real nectar. Okay. In discussing Krishna's opulences and...
The pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. Therefore, they want to hear and discuss them.
Krishna, which verse is that? We discussed that, right? Pure devotees' qualities. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantasya drudavrata namasyantasya mambam. Nitya tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The 10.9, right? Like, qualities of pure devotees. Yeah.
Krishna knows that living entities do not understand the extent of his opulences. He therefore agrees to state only the principal manifestations of his different energies. The world, pradhana yatha principle is very important because we can understand only a few of the principal details
of the Supreme Lord.
For his features are unlimited. It is not possible to understand them all. And vibhuti, as used in the verse, refers to the opulences by which he controls the whole manifestation. In the Amara Kosha dictionary, it is stated that vibhuti indicates an exceptional opulence.
Yeah. So that's what, again, clarification is that anyway living entities cannot understand. So Krishna wants to only explain primary pradhanyatha principal opulences he want to discuss. No, that's the point. And then another phrase, vibhuti yoga. This chapter in Sanskrit is called vibhuti yoga. That means understanding, connecting to the Lord through his opulences. So specifically this definition is given. Vibhuti is referring to opulences of the Lord manifested in this world, or you know, by which he controls cosmic manifestation. But whereas opulences of the Lord which he exhibits in spiritual world, it's different name. I don't know the Sanskrit for it. But it's different. You know, specifically when we talk about vibhuti, that means the glories of the Lord in this world, as we see it in this world. You know, if it makes sense. It's already given in the purport. You can underline that if you want. You know, there is some...
opulences in spiritual world has a different name.
Different name. I don't know what's the scans... No, because Krishna says Bhagavan also, right? Bhagas. It's full of all strength. I'm not sure whether that's the term or some other term. Mm-hmm. Some other term is there. Okay, so now... So everything is okay so far? So let's go to the sequence then. So from now on, Krishna is going to start his prominent opulences. He's going to refer and explain. So what we'll see is, if you observe, what Krishna is saying actually in all of this, he is the essence of everything, or he is the thing which is most prominent among a particular thing. Like, you know, he says, I'm Himalaya among mountains. He says, I'm moon among all the stars. Right? Moon is also a star. The primary star is moon. So he says that he is the prominent aspect of among the particular species. So like that among...
Asas the tree, banyan tree.
Yeah, among all the trees, I am banyan tree. It's like... So the way how to understand this whole thing is... It's... Okay, let me explain the philosophy so we can understand it in proper perspective. It's not like Krishna is that. Right? It's not like Krishna disappeared from spiritual world, became a banyan tree everywhere. Right? So, what Krishna is saying is that, for example, among all the people, I am the king, he says. I'm the monarch. That means the potency of, you know, that king is empowered with the potency to rule. That potency is given by Krishna, and that potency is Krishna. You see the point? Basically, that power is given by Krishna, and I am representing that power. And what some other points, like similarly, you know, among women, he says, I am fine speech. You know, these are feminine qualities. Among feminine qualities, I am fine speech and something else like that. Now, so whenever we see that, there is some special attraction towards that we feel, right? And that attraction is for Krishna actually. So that's what he's saying. And for example, among Pandavas, I am Arjuna, he says. Like that, you know. There is, because he is most intimate friend to Krishna, so he is saying, you know, actually I am you. But it doesn't mean, you know, they merge and, you know, there is no Krishna, there is no Arjuna. So I am telling, you know, it's not an impersonal understanding. He is saying, whatever prominent you see, that is representing my potency. You know, it's empowered due to my potency. That's what he is saying. Like, you know, if king is able to rule, or... you know, like if anybody is able to do anything, it's because of my power. So, like that. So, let's understand like that and read this. Okay, we can take turns reading the translation. You can go in a sequence. Swami Prabhu, can start.
I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings.
So, we know the Super Soul, right? Seated in the hearts. Beginning, and middle, and end of all beings means basically in the creation, right? Before creation, Krishna exists. While maintaining, Vishnu exists. After annihilation of the material universes, Krishna exists. So that's what he's saying. You know, Prabhupada in the purport talks about the creation and different Vishnus and little bit details about that. So specifically here, first two lines of the purport. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. This address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant because Arjuna is above such darkness. The Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Earlier also he told about Arjuna, Gudakesha, right? Remember in the first chapter, saying, you know, why you conquered the sleep, you know, why can't you fight? That's what he was saying. Okay, text number 21. Yeah.
Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon.
Okay, so Adityas are sons of Aditi. So they are Diti and Aditi. These are the primary ladies, you know, through which creation takes place. Diti's sons are Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, right? The two demons. But Aditi's sons are demigods. So among all the demigods, Vishnu. Vishnu is nothing but Vamanadeva here. No, you can write down if you want. You know, this Vishnu is referring to Vamanadeva. So, Diti san Hiranyakashipu, right? Aditi san. I might have, Diti san only, right? Correct, okay. So, among lights, I am the sun. So, you know, we can see, you know, sun is the prominent. He is the one who is giving light to everyone. Among Maruts means, Marut means winds. Among all the types of winds, I am Marichi. Marichi is a controlling deity for wind. And among all the stars, among the moon. Okay. 22.
Of the Vedas, I am the Samveda. Of demigods, I am Indra. The king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in the living being, I am the living force.
Consciousness. Yeah. Okay, somehow, you know, among all demigods, he's saying is Indra. And mind is a prominent sense, right? It's controlling all the senses. So Krishna is saying that is that complex mechanism of the mind. And living force, the consciousness by which living beings are sustained. 23.
Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshas, I am the Lord of Wealth.
Kuvera.
Of the Vasus, I am fire, Agni, and of mountains, I am Meru.
So, Rudras, there are 11 Rudras, and actually, during the time of destruction, these Rudras get manifested. They do that Tandava Nitya and destroy the whole universe. So, but then within the prominent is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva only expands into all of these, actually. So, then Kuvera is also one of the, you know, Rakshasa. Then Agni, fire god Agni, among all the Vasus. Mountains, Meru mountain is famed for its rich natural resources, special. That's why Krishna is saying, I am that.
Mataji, Kuvera is a demigod. Why are they saying Rakshasa?
No, he is...
Yaksha.
He is Yaksha. The leader of Yakshas and Rakshasas is Kuvera. He may not be Rakshasa, maybe I'm he is a leader of Yakshas and Rakshasas. I don't know whether he himself is a Rakshasa or Yakshas.
Rakshas and both have a wealth and property, right? Wealth, in the term of wealth. Kuvera is known for wealth. So both,
yes.
Rakshasa and Yakshas, both have wealth. And that wealth represent...
Yeah, Prabhupada in the purport is saying is a leader of Yakshas and Rakshasas is Kuvera. The master treasurer of all the demigods. He is a treasurer of the demigods. He is in charge of... You know, he is the chartered accountant. What is it? Accountant. Okay, 20.
Mataji, does Meru Mountain exist now somewhere? Or does it mean spiritual mountain?
Meru Mountain.
It's there.
Prabhu?
I don't know. It's
Meru Mountain, I don't know if you attended Amritananda Prabhu's class, Vedic Cosmology.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the center of the universe. You cannot see it. This is just one planet. 14 planetary systems ke beech mein hai. And it is too way on the top. Demigods come and they will have their kind of a picnic spot. And the different planetary systems, and at the bottom there are different oceans, honey and milk and so many.
Yeah.
So Amritananda Prabhu took a very nice class, and even Brahma Samhita maybe thoda sa tha. So you cannot see it from here, but yes, it is in a universe, and it is very tall, between 14 planetary systems there.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Thank you, Mother. Yeah. Text number 24.
Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief Brihaspati. Of jungles, I am Kartikeya, and of bodies of water, I am the ocean.
Okay, so Chief Brihaspati is Indra's priest. So he is the priest of demigods. So he is saying, you know, among the priests, I am priest of the demigods, obviously. Then generals, you know, potency, the potency for war, you know, is a personified in Kartikeya. You know, son of, you know, Shiva, right?
Yeah.
Among bodies of water, obviously ocean is, you know, the topmost, you know, in the sense of voluminous and greatest. Prabhupada saying, and of all bodies of water, the ocean is greatest. These representations of Krishna only give hints of his greatness. So whatever great we see, it should immediately remind us of Krishna. That's what it is. Yeah. Mm. Text number 25.
Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas.
Mm. So Bhrigu is representing, the potency of Bhrigu is represented, is Krishna's potency. Om is the impersonal representation of Krishna's holy name. So, you know, so the, all this impersonal is a vibrate Om. The, but it's nothing but Krishna only.
Mataji, can I add something? Please?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Please.
Om ke liye, I have heard that it is an indirect
yes,
way
yes.
of calling Krishna.
Yes.
But believe it or not, I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in chapter 7. 85th verse or something. Prabhupada has said, Omkara, one who says Omkara is equivalent to saying as Hare Krishna. And he gave at least 1.5-2 pages of purport in that he explained that all the Vedic scriptures say Omkara and it is equivalent. Anyone who will say Omkara will go back to Godhead. The pure purport mein, Prabhupada talked about Omkara and that it is very nice, but I have heard many times from Arivulas Prabhu that yes, it is an indirect way of calling Krishna.
Yeah.
But I don't think so we can call it as an impersonalist.
What I meant, it's an impersonal sound representation of Krishna. See, Om, it's like as if, see Radha Krishna, see we can see it, it's so personal. Immediately when you say Radha Krishna, you can immediately feel... You know, we can visualize their forms,
right.
Their pastimes, everything is revealed, right?
Mm.
Once you say Om, you know, there is no form. It just maybe probably see a shape, maybe the color of that light, whatever it is. That's all it is. So it's an impersonal name for Krishna.
Yes, but it has the full potency.
Exactly, yes. It has a full
all
potency.
All Vedic literatures, every mantra start with Om.
Yes, all our, even our, we... Our Gayatri Mantra starts with Om. Om is a, it's kind of like a key. It reveals the, you know, the potency of the mantras.
So
but still, no, but still, equivalent means, I don't know, I have to read the purport. I don't know whether, because depends on the approach of the practitioner also still. You know, if a devotee who has a personalist approach towards the Lord, chants the Om, Krishna reveals himself as, and the Om will be revealed as Radha Krishna himself. But if an impersonalist whose approach is to worship the Lord as impersonalist chants the Om, that's what he will get. He will get only the impersonal realization. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. If you are a personalist and you want to see the Lord as a person and you chant Omkara, then you'll get the same result. You see the point? It's about the attitude of the follower, Prabhupada says. It's about that. But it doesn't mean anybody who chants the Om will go to Goloka. You know, but that's why the process which is given for us is...
No,
I don't. Okay, I will read that. Yeah.
Because I was shocked and I read it 2 times.
Okay.
Like, what is this? And Prabhupada, ye nahi kaha hai that yes, we should start chanting Omkara. He just said that Omkara has a potency, but yes, we will still chant our Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Okay.
Omkara.
Yeah. I can definitely read. You know, this. These are all subtler details of us, of our philosophy. You know. Anyway, we just follow whatever Lord Chaitanya has given us. Yeah. Okay. So then among immovable things, Prabhupada is saying, last 3 lines if you read, the mountain named Meru was mentioned in the previous verse. But Meru is sometimes movable, whereas the Himalayas are never movable. Thus the Himalayas are greater than Meru. If you are not movable, then you are greater, it seems. Okay.
See, in the purport also it is saying, of all the transcendental vibrations, Omkara
represents
Krishna.
Krishna, yeah.
And our mantra is the purest representation of Krishna.
Which one? All mantra? Hare Krishna is the purest representation.
Purest representation.
Yeah, so it represents Krishna.
Mm.
And this is the purest and complete representation of Krishna. Yeah. Okay. It's interesting, right? If you move, you're not so powerful. Basically, move means in a way that shaking, right? You're not fixed. So it's, we are fixed. You are fixed means you are more, strong.
Vera mountain was moved for the church.
Yes, yeah.
So I
correct.
Think that's why they are saying.
Movable, yeah. 26.
Of all trees, I am the banyan tree. And of the sages among the demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am
Chitrata.
And among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila.
Okay, so the banyan tree is one of the highest and most beautiful trees, and people in India often worship it as one of their daily morning rituals. That's why, it's prominent, because it's even now so many products of banyan tree are used, right? The leaves are used, the flutes are used, the leaves are used to eat, right? Everything. Oh, so nice. And sages, of course, Narada Muni is the prominent sage. Chitrarata is a great singer, best singer among the Gandharvas. Among Gandharvas are singers, so Chitrarata is the best singer among them. Kapila is incarnation of Krishna, Kapila Deva, not the atheistic Kapila, sometimes it comes. Every time Prabhupada clarifies that. Yeah, text number 27.
Okay. Of horses, know me to be Ucheshvara, produced during the churning of the ocean for nectar. Of lordly elephants, I am Airavata, and among men, I am the monarch.
See, I told you, right? King. Elephants, among all the elephants, Airavata is the
Indra's
elephant, right? So that's one. And Ucheshvara is a horse. And men, king, ruler. Ruler obviously, dominates and he controls the people. And he represents the Lord, basically, He's a representative of God, right? Krishna. So that's why, Krishna is saying, I am him. Okay, text number 28.
Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among cows, I am the Surabhi. Of causes for procreation, I am Kandarpa, the god of law. And of serpents, I am Vasuki.
So this is Indra's thunderbolt. Surabhi is the cow in the spiritual world which Indra took shelter, right, in order to get forgiveness after his mistake of Govardhan pastime. Then Kandarpa is Cupid. Right, sex desire for representing good sons. Vasuki. Vasuki is
snake.
Yeah. He's the snake of Lord.
That's the snake mark that he used for churning
the ocean.
Churning the ocean, right? Vasuki. Okay. Oh, Anantas is different. Yeah, I'm Ananta. It's here. Yeah. Okay. Nagas. Of many who did, Mataji.
Of the many who did Nagas, I am Ananta. And among the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the lord of death.
Yeah, so Nagas are different than snakes. So earlier we have snake, right? Serpents. Yeah, now it is many hooded. Serpents have only one hood. So there are many hooded snakes also. That's called Nagas. And in that, this Anantashesha. Saying Anantashesha. Among whom, hoods, the whole planets are maintained now. Right? It's just like on the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, right? Lies down on him in the universe. So, aquatics, demigod Varuna. Okay.
Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahalada. Among subduers, I am Time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda.
So even among the demons, there is a very prominent personality who is a great devotee of the Lord. Prahlada is born, right? That is the Hiranyakashipu's son. Diti's son is Hiranyakashipu, whose son is Prahlada Maharaj. So that's why, Krishna is saying, I am that, wonderful devotee. I am time. Krishna, people defy Krishna and they say, Krishna doesn't exist. Prabhupada says, just wait, he's just around the corner. Whenever you meet death, you will see him. But also day, minute to minute, they can feel Krishna because it's time. When we are wasting time, we can see. We are actually, it's so, this concept is so important, right? The time, wasting time factor. So many times Prabhupada says, he quoted sometime, August 24th, 1972, 4 o'clock, it's never going to come again. right? That one moment back, it's never going to come. So one, even if you give millions and zillions of dollars, you cannot buy it back. So precious is time. So it's Krishna. So you know, we should be so conscious about using it. When we know, when we feel it's Krishna, we will be so conscious about, you know, how we are utilizing our time only in service to Krishna. As we discussed the concept, right? For material is, it feels like there is no time. And time kind of, it feels like, you know, they don't have enough resources of time. Always they feel they don't have time. But for devotees, time expands. It feels like, you know, as if you can still do so many more services still within the same time. That's the concept, you know. It's because now it's a spiritual potency. Because we are using for Krishna service, it feels like there are unlimited amount of time to do service. Okay, among beasts, I'm lion. Among birds, I'm Garuda. Garuda is Vishnu's carrier. Right, okay. So Prabhupada is saying, there are many subduing principles, but time wears down all the things in the material universe and so represents Krishna. Right? Anything big, powerful, any kingdom which is flourishing, some other time, just after some years, it's going to go. You know, it's very, we all should accept that, right? Someday somebody is big, somebody is down, but everything is, has to go with time. Okay, continue. Prabhupada, Swami, you read, okay.
Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the builders of weapon, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Mm.
So, shark represents Krishna, because Krishna also, his earrings sometimes are described as shark-shaped earrings. His earrings are described as shark-shaped earrings. Lotus flower, lotus feet, right? So, I think he will say lotus also sometime. Okay.
Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end and also the middle, Arjuna. Of sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among logicians, I am the conclusive truth.
So, you know, logicians argue so much. Ultimately, one has to come to the truth, final conclusion, right? Then there is no beyond that, right? See, it's so nice how... Okay. Vedanta Sutra, so it's spiritual science he's referring to is Vedanta Sutra, which talks about aphorisms, right, you know, in this code form to understand about spirituality. So that is what he's referring to. We all can read the purports also. I think we are not doing so much. Brahma, right, in the beginning, yeah, that's what, beginning, end and middle. So it's like about three expansions. Krishna expands himself as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, right? For the sake of creation, maintenance, annihilation of the universe. So that's what he's because it's all his expansions. Text number 33.
Of letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time. And of creators, I am Brahma.
So he's saying, I'm time I am, Krishna is saying. Brahma is the topmost creator, right, in the universe, secondary creator though. So he is the first letter, beginning letter. Okay, let's see this first few lines. Prabhupada is explaining about A, what is the significance of this A. A, Akara, the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, is the beginning of the Vedic literatures. Without Akara, nothing can be sounded. Therefore, it is the beginning of sound. In Sanskrit, there are also many compound words, of which the dual word, like Rama, Krishna, is called Dvandva. In this compound, the words Rama and Krishna have the same form, and therefore the compound is called dual. Yeah, something very special, basically. Okay, text number 34.
Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience.
Mm. This is all devouring death. That's why, you know, people, Krishna will.
This
you
is
will
quoted in that when they meet the atom bomb, right? Have become death, all devouring.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mataji, can I go back to verse number 32? You are running very fast. I am stuck in 32. Vedanta Sutra, where it says that in particular the Vedanta Sutra represents Krishna.
Mm.
So what is Vedanta Sutra? What exactly? Is there some specific book?
Is
there like one verse, Srimad Bhagavatam?
No. Srimad Bhagavatam is, Vedanta Sutra is, we know some sutras, like, you know, Janmadi Yastayata, that's one sutra, Vedanta sutra. That's the first sutra. Among which, based on which we create this first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vajanmadi Yastayata Anvayat, that's a big sloka. It, you know, we memorized it. I can state it now. Right? And there are other phrases in Vedanta Sutra. I don't know which. You know some phrases which often we hear from Vedanta Sutra? Atato Brahma Jignyasa.
Yes, we know that.
Yeah, so this is phrase. These are all like... Yeah, these are all... No, these are all compiled in the form of book called Vedanta Sutra. It's a code called codes, spiritual codes. But then, Vyasadeva only compiled it. Then he figured out, you know, nobody in this Kali Yuga...
In the realm of demigods, there are billion verses, which Vedvyas compiled into Vedas, 400,000. Then he compiled Vedanta Sutra, and then Shankaracharya's philosophy on Vedanta Sutra, and the commentary on Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's
right?
Correct, yeah. Right? Yeah, so Vyasadeva himself, after, as Mataji is saying, after compiling Vedas, because Vedas were in the,
Sound form.
So disciples used to hear and pass on like that, you know, they had so much memory. Once they hear, they used to recite all the Vedas. That's how they used to learn and recite everything. But he understood Kali Yuga is happening and nobody is going to remember like this, so I have to write it in, you know, written form. So he compiled and put everything together in book four. He divided the Vedas into four Vedas. We know that, right? So after compiling all of this, still wrote all these Puranas, all those things. He wrote Vedanta Sutra also. Vedanta Sutra specifically talks, points to spirituality, because Vedas contain about all fruitive activities, right? So you did this and this, then you'll get this, all this fruitive still.
So the cream of all Vedas is actually in Vedanta Sutra.
Vedanta Sutra, yes, correct. Cream of all the Vedas is in Vedanta Sutras. And but then it's Sanskrit aphorisms. Who will understand those things, right? So he had to write a commentary for this. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That's how our acharyas have accepted it. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary, and Srila Prabhupada has given commentary to that also, to make us understand clearly what it is. So if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, understand properly, you have understood all the Vedic aphorisms. We don't know which one refers to what, but you understood Vedanta Sutra. Okay? So then, what else we are discussing? Okay, this is important, significant. I am generating principle of all that is yet to be. Okay? Among women, so let's read this last paragraph. So basically it's talking about feminine qualities. Among feminine qualities, I am fame. These are all feminine. So you know, when you refer to something, you can immediately say as she, right? Even though it's an object, it's not really a woman, right? Based on the way the object is said, you sometimes call it she, sometimes he. So that's why. These are all feminine qualities. Fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, patience. Doesn't mean women have this. Let's see. Last paragraph.
That's what I was about to ask, but you clarified it.
Yeah. Last paragraph.
The seven appliances listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti, and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence and other appliances. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, and he has the appliance called patience.
It's very nice, no? These are all opulences. So if we have any of this, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, straightforwardness, patience, then, you know, these are all our opulences we can possess. Okay, text number 35.
Of the hymns in the Sama Veda, I am the Brihat Sama, and of poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Margasura, November to December. and of seasons and flower bearing spring.
So Gayatri is the sound incarnation of Brahman. That's what we're doing. We chant Gayatri. No? Brahmanas chant Gayatri.
So Iskan devotees, they chant Gayatri
Mantra, yeah.
The one which we know, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svah, that one or something different?
Yeah, that one only, but it's, yeah, if you search online, you'll find it, what mantras we chant, but it's not meant to be told until you receive it, you know? Only you have to receive it from Guru. Like,
but the same mantra.
She cannot disclose that.
Yeah.
Until you get initiated, you get it from your guru.
But it's different then for everyone. Is it one?
No, it's the same mantra for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it's, first mantra is same. First mantra is everybody knows. What is it? Om Namo. Om Bhur Bhuvah Svah. That's the same mantra. But other mantras are also there. If you search online, you'll find it, what it is. But there is no potency unless you receive it from your guru. You have to receive it, then you chant.
I'm not asking you, but something related to that.
Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Basically, you know, this mantra is meant to reveal the spiritual dharma, actually. So, just Hare Krishna mantra is enough for us. You know, just Hare Krishna is enough for us to go to spiritual world. You know, as Prabhupada said, that's enough. But this will give you accelerated pace, actually. You know, it's a more kind of, you know,
that's also like system
down. No. This just if you, you have to chant each mantra 10 times. There are about 7 or 9 mantras. I don't remember. Yeah. Each mantra 10 times, 3 times a day you have to do. So it takes 10 minutes to do, 3 times, 30 minutes. But so much potency, every day you have to do. So much potency is there. And there are specific things also, you know, you have to do it. First mantra, you should do it from between 6 to 9 in the morning. Second one, from 12 to 3. Actually, the specific time is given, like, you know, before sunrise, something like that is there. Or there is, next level is within 3 hours after the noon, like that. Next mantra is from between 6 to 9. Next level is, if you know, you cannot make it or all those things, at the end of the day, chant 3 Gayatris. And other thing is, once you don't do Gayatri per one day, you cannot do it next day. You lost the chance. At least chanting you can somehow do, right? Next day you can count and do. Gayatri you cannot do it.
Or agar phir bhi koi kare more than 3 times.
I don't know what's the potency, but what's the effect, but...
That's what it is.
Yeah, at least it's told you have lost it basically, you know, lost.
So you cannot do. If you skip one day, you cannot do for your life.
No, you cannot. That one you cannot...
You cannot carry over to the next
day. Exactly, yeah. Okay. Spring is very beautiful, right? Flower bearing spring. So that's Krishna.
So Mataji, what is there in November and December? Why it is Krishna's favorite?
Mrugasira.
No,
November,
the
December.
Margasira.
It's called. Okay.
That is the month when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita.
So let's read last paragraph. The month of November and December.
The month of November December is considered the best of all months because in India grains are collected from the fields at this time and people become very happy. Of course, spring is a season in universal delight because it is neither too hot nor too cold, and the flowers and trees blossom and flourish. In spring, there are also many ceremonies commemorating Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, this is considered to be the most joyful of all seasons, and it is the representative of the Supreme Lord Krishna.
Yeah, initially I was thinking he will tell about, you know, Kartik Masa. Yeah, he says he's different. Yeah.
At least I fit there. Like either when November, December I fit there. If it is Kartik also I fit there. While I was born, that was the Kartik month and it was in November 1st.
So. Okay.
Kartik Masa November is December to Margasira Masa.
November to December.
Margasira Masa lo vache, Vishnuri Krishnamayana.
Yeah, Krishnuri Krishnamayana month. Yeah, correct. Margasira, yeah. Okay. Text number 36.
I am also the gambling of kings and of the splendid and the splendor. I am victory, I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong.
Yeah. Gambling of the cheats. And next one he says, I'm among... here only I think he says, yeah. Yeah, there are many kinds of cheaters all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. And then I'm victory, adventure. So we all want to have adventures. One lecture Indrajit Maharaj gave, you know, about... adventure, transcendental adventure or something like that. Because when he was young, he always wanted, full of energy, right? American boy, everything, he always wanted to do adventures, like, you know, he used to sail on the boats and so many things, you know, however typically anybody does like that. But after that, when he came to Krishna consciousness, the same propensity is there. So now he wants to go travel everywhere and spread the Krishna consciousness movement. He says, this is real adventure what I am doing. Now, this is the best adventure, you know, to risk their own lives, you know, it's so much danger, and try to spread Krishna consciousness movement. It's so much thrill, enthrillment is there in that. Strength of the strong. Yeah. Of the seven?
Of the descendants of Rishni, I am Vasudev, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyas, and among great thinkers, I am
Ushana.
Ushana.
So this is Vasudeva is himself. He's talking about himself. He's a descendant of Rishni, right? Vasudeva. Hmm? Pandavas, Arjuna, Vyasudeva, and Ushana. Ushana, can read the purport. Prabhupada will say kavis, last three lines maybe. Kavis are those who are capable of thinking
thoroughly on any subject matter. Among the kavis,
Shukracharya
was the spiritual master of the demons. He was an extremely intelligent and far-seeing politician. Thus Shukracharya is another representative of the opulence of Krishna.
Yeah, Shukracharya. But he was, Bali Maharaj rejected him, right? Because he said, you know, don't surrender to Vishnu. So, but he is far-seeing politician. So his potency is empowered by Krishna. 38.
Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am the victor.
This is poetry, beautiful poetry.
Mataji, Ushana and Shukracharya are the same thing?
Yeah, he's saying, right?
Same?
Yeah. Among the kavis, Ushana, Shukracharya was a spiritual master of the demons. So he is saying when miscreants are punished, the agency of chastisement represents Krishna. So for example, you know, capital punishment, when somebody kills somebody, they are supposed to get capital punishment. That means, you know, they are supposed to be also, you know, killed, or rather, you know, murdered, whatever, hanged or whatever. Whatever mechanism to, so that they can relieve themselves of their body. Otherwise, the next life, they have to bear a very severe reaction. This is much better for them. Because they kill somebody, if they lose their life, the reaction is neutralized. But these days, because we don't understand all these principles, there people are, you know, talking against capital punishment. You know, that's cruel, you should not do it. Somebody killed out of something, no, you should not kill that person again. But then we don't know the consequences, that guy is meant to suffer so much more. But that punishment is Krishna. If he is supposed to get it, it's Krishna. Yeah. 39.
Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being moving or non-moving that can exist without me.
So this is like punchline. Among everything, you know, I am the seed-giving father, he says. That 40.
O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences.
So cool. Radhakrishna Prabhu said, you know, so cool he's saying. 41.
Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
Spark, just a spark. Can you read the purport?
Any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence.
So we go and try to see so much natural beauty and so many things, right? So this all we are trying to find Krishna. That's what it is. We don't want to go to temple and see the same deity again. We want to go somewhere and see him in a different color. That's what. You know, see him in like some, you know, pinkish yellow color flowers, or, you know, some water flowing or some, that's what. But, you know, Krishna is saying, whatever, you know, you're seeing, it's actually just my opulence. But still, it's impersonal way. If you remember Krishna in that, it's very good. But we get lost. 42.
But what... But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe.
Single fragment, this entire universe, I pervade and support. As super soul, he's talking about super soul. So let's read this purport.
The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universe by his entering into all things as the super soul. The Lord here tells Arjun that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all the things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, to down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them.
Yeah. So you see the point, right? You understood? Because of the super soul only, anything is being functioned actually. Soul is there, but the maintenance and sustenance is happening because of super soul. We know the sequence, right? Soul desires, super soul sanctions, and material energy executes it. That's how things happen, right? We discussed that, right? Long term back. Okay, continue.
There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of all.
Oh, it's okay, bro. We can skip that. Sorry, we'll go to the next one. If, however, one thoroughly studies, maybe 10, 15 line.
If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the influences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of the Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by expansion of his partial representation, the super soul who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their mind in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in the verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with Supreme Personality of Godhead has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Srila Baldeva Vidyabhushana, a great acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes this commentary on the chapter by saying, from the Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power, and by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is worshipped. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the opulence of the Absolute.
So, Krishna. So, when we hear about Krishna's opulences and expansions, we could become fixed in devotion to him instead of going to demigods. And that's what the first paragraph we missed. Prabhupada is talking about different people worship different demigods. But when we hear about the Lord's opulences and even demigods are manifesting their power because of the Lord, then we don't get deviated. We become fixed on devotional service to the Lord. So, opulences of the Absolute. Vibhuti Yoga.
So, Mataji, this creation about this 84 million species of life, this exists only in the earthly planet or in the entire universe creation as well?
Entire universe. Yeah. 8,400,000 species spread throughout the universe. It includes demigods also. They are also living entity, like in the sense mortal, right? Mortal.
So, because in Earth, scientists up until now, they have identified like some 30.
Yeah.
Up to that.
Something. What
species of life? Not a rest of the thing. And of course, they also agree that ocean, basically ocean species, haven't been identified completely. But this 84 million is considering the whole universe, the 14 planetary.
Yeah, everything. Okay. Any questions or comments? How many verses are in 11th chapter?
42.
42?
Yes.
11th?
No,
because I was given some action item. I'm thinking. Then we have 2 more weeks before we go to India. So we can stop this recording, right? So Okay? Hare Krishna, all glories Srila Prabhupada. Jai.